May God's grace, His peace, His abundant, rich mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one we follow. Amen. Our text for our sermon is the gospel lesson from Luke 9, the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, richly bless the teaching, the preaching, the hearing of your word. May we all receive it in faith this day and be full of the Holy Spirit to follow you all our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me be honest, straightforward to begin today. The topic of today's sermon is tough. It's a hard topic, a difficult topic. Probably by the end of the sermon, you might feel a bit guilty. You may squirm a little bit, cower in the pew. That's normal. Because the topic of the sermon today is discipleship. And most Christians don't like to talk a whole lot about discipleship. We want to hear the gospel. I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. We need to hear that. That's dominant in the church. But then there's the topic of discipleship here on earth and following Jesus. And in the gospel lesson that Pastor read, Jesus, in a very clear, simple, straightforward way, tells us what it means to follow him. And it's not a walk in the park. It's not easy and comfortable. From this gospel lesson, I want to note four characteristics of a disciple of Jesus. You're a disciple? You bear the name of the Son of God? You claim to be a Christian? Here's how you act. If you're really a Christian, you bear the name of Christ who died and rose for you. You're the baptized. Four characteristics. May these things just fill our lives. First of all, we learn right off the bat in this gospel that disciples of Jesus must be forgiving people. We forgive and we forgive and we forgive 70 times, 7 times, because we've been forgiven 7 million times, times 7 billion times by our God. We are patient. We are merciful. We love our enemies. We bear with one another in Christian love. We don't hold things against each other. We don't pay each other back. We don't seek revenge. Neither do we ignore each other and give the cold shoulder. But we forgive. The story begins with Jesus and the disciples going through Samaria. And a little village there won't allow Jesus and his disciples to go because the Samaritans hated the Jews. And notice what James and John want to do, the two disciples. Lord, can we call down fire on them? Like Sodom and Gomorrah of old, like Elijah did in his ministry. Just call on fire, consume them. How dare they reject us, and especially you, the Son of God. Let's call on fire, let's pay them back, let's get revenge. And notice the response of Jesus. Jesus doesn't laugh it off and chuckle, yeah, it'd be kind of nice if we could do that, but I won't do that today. He doesn't ignore them because they're overreacting, no big deal. So you want to call down fire on somebody, no big deal. He doesn't just gently correct them. He rebukes them. It's a strong word, rebuke. He gets in their face and says, no, we're not going to call down fire. He's teaching them and us a lesson. You're my disciple. You follow me. We don't call down fire on people. We forgive. We have mercy. We bear with others even when they hate us and they reject us. That's how we act. And Christ is the ultimate example as he hangs on the cross and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No payback. We don't pay others back because God hasn't paid us back for our sins. God does not call down fire on us today, so we dare not call down fire on somebody else who's committed a sin or two against me. We don't get others back because God doesn't get us back. We don't hold a grudge because God doesn't hold a grudge against us. God is so forgiving, so merciful, so loving at the cross. How can I love and show mercy to my brother for his one or two crimes against me, as bad as they may be, when they're really not all that bad at all? Many of you probably heard about or saw part of the tennis match at Wimbledon this week. What a tennis match. It went, over 11 hours, covered 3 days. And the final fifth set was 70 to 68 games apiece. Back and forth, hit it back, hit it back, go back and forth, fight, struggle, what a match. And that's fine for tennis. But too often our relationships are like that. In our family or at the workplace or at church, back and forth. You hit me, I'll hit you back harder. And then I'm going to hit you back even harder because you hit me harder than I hit you to begin with. You gossip about me, I'm going to gossip about you. You stab me in the back, I'll stab you in the back. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Payback. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Not just an eye for an eye, but you take my eye, I'm going to take both of your eyes. And the silly, selfish back and forth fight and struggle. Someone has to stop the match and say, I turn the other cheek. I forgive. I don't hold a grudge. I forgive. Disciples are forgiving. Jesus turned the other cheek and he turned his back to a whip laid at his hands with nails in them. How can we not be forgiving people? You're holding a grudge? You want to get revenge? It's time today to make peace and forgive. You'll feel a lot better and so will the other person. Secondly, disciples are often forsaken. We're often forsaken and lonely and beaten down and rejected on this earth. We continue the story in the second paragraph. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go, Jesus. And Jesus said to him bluntly, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In a very blunt way, Christ is saying, you're a Christian, you're going to follow me wherever I go. Realize that there's going to be times you're going to be treated worse than an animal. Animals get better treatment than you do if you're my disciple often. For a fox has a hole, a bird has a nest, you may not have a home. You may have your home taken from you. Persecution. You may get beaten and tortured. You may die for me. And most all these disciples did die for Christ in horrible ways. You'll be forsaken, lonely. And yet we're not discouraged. We're not discouraged like Isaiah, or rather Elijah in the Old Testament lesson, who's just so depressed and so down, hiding in a cave somewhere because life isn't going so good. We don't get discouraged, we don't get dismayed, because even though we may not have a home here on this earth, although most of us have a very nice home, even though we may not have a great home here on earth, we have a home in heaven, a home of glory. So what am I so upset about and afraid about? We may not have friends here on earth. So what? What a friend I have in Jesus. And I have Christian friends in the church that help me through this life. I may be poor on this earth and not have a lot of riches. They may be taken from me. So what? No big deal. For I am rich in what counts, rich in the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, rich in the Holy Spirit, rich in the Word and Sacrament. I'm a rich person, so I won't be dismayed. I'll press on even though I'm forsaken. For I have Christ. I have Christ, and what else do I need? I'm going to reign in glory and shine like the sun one day. You know, there's a little boy in our day camp this summer called, his name is Ian. Cute little boy, and my daughter Megan works in day camp, my son Tom, and they've told me for a week or two, Dad, this little boy Ian, he's only here one day a week, he looks a lot like you when you were a boy. You got to come see this boy because he looks a lot like you. You know, he's a really good-looking, fine-looking kid when he's a boy, obviously. And so I go down to Vacation Bible School, and Megan, my daughter, introduces me to Ian. And says, Ian, this is Pastor Busher, and this is Ian. And the kid does look a lot like me. And then Megan made the horrible mistake. She made the horrible mistake of telling Ian, this is what you're going to look like when you get older, Ian. I mean, the kid's probably in therapy somewhere. Pray for the poor kid today. He looked up at me, and he kind of had a smile, but then the smile kind of went away pretty quick when he looked up at me. You know, what are you going to look like when you get older? Well, we're going to get old and gray, and we're going to die. I'm not talking about on this earth. What are you going to look like in 500 years, in a billion years, in a million years? We're going to look like Jesus. We're going to shine like the sun. We're going to be holy and righteous through and through. Because of that eternal glory and that eternal home, we don't fret about being forsaken here on this earth. We make it through. We persevere with joy because of the hope that we have. Number three, The Lord teaches disciples must be fast. There's an urgency to being a disciple of Jesus. We're not lazy. We don't procrastinate. We hear the word of God with eagerness. We commune with eagerness. We go proclaim the word of God with eagerness. There's urgency. It's life and death, heaven and hell. We want to be saved. We want our children saved, our grandchildren saved, the whole world saved. So it's urgent to get at the work of God. We continue the story. To another, Jesus said, "Follow me." But he said to Jesus, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." There's urgency. Let nothing get in the way of you following the Lord, not even burying your dad. That's no excuse for not following God. Christ is here. Salvation is here. The gospel's here. Eternal life is here. What else do you want? It's a no-brainer. Follow Jesus. Leave everything and follow Jesus. You don't have to think about it. Don't have to contemplate it. It's Jesus, the Son of God. What else do you want, friend? Go and follow right now. Leave all. Even forsake your dead dad and go follow him. Nothing else compares to the one who gives life. Don't focus on death and sadness. Focus on life and joy and go proclaim the kingdom. No hesitation. Nothing gets in the way. Have no excuses. Go follow with urgency. You know, I'm sitting in my office some days here, and you know what I hear? I hear the ice cream truck go by, believe it or not, here. Now, when I hear the ice cream truck go by, do I jump right up and run out and buy ice cream? So, Donna, you're shaking your head. Yes, I can't believe it. Well, not even I do that. I don't really need ice cream, but also, you know, it's not much better than what you get at Kroger, and I can go to Baskin-Robbins or Dairy Queen later if I want ice cream that bad. It costs money, so I don't jump up and get it. Now, let me tell you this, though. If I knew the ice cream truck had homemade ice cream, it had the Lundin's homemade. Where's the Lundin family at? They're hiding back. They're cowering. If it had the Lundin's homemade ice cream that I've tasted, and it was free with chocolate syrup, would I run out and get it? You better believe it. So would you. It's free. It's delicious. It's sweet. Let's go get it before it's all gone. When things are free and they're good, we're pretty fast to go get them. When we really want something, we're quick to go get it. We don't think a lot about it. Let's go get it. It's good. It's fat. It's free. Let's go get it. Right here you have the best thing in the world, the sweet gospel of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the hope of eternal glory, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, preached and taught and received at communion. Be fast, be urgent, receive, go proclaim, no excuses. Number four, disciples must be focused. The end of the text, yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those of my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." A single-minded focus on Jesus. No distractions. A single-minded focus on Jesus and on his mission. That's what Christ wants from a disciple. There's no such thing as a part-time Christian. I'm a part-time Christian, and then the rest of my time is mine to do whatever I want. No. Jesus doesn't just want a corner of your heart. You know, I gave Jesus a little bit of my heart. He doesn't want a little bit of your heart. He wants your whole heart. He is your life and your heart and your soul. He's your everything. He's either that or he's nothing. It's one or the other. He's everything or he's nothing to you. No part-time, no little bit. Total focus on Christ, on his word, on the mission. In other words, the Lord here is saying, I think in Luke 9, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Not a little bit of it, but all of it. Because the Lord has loved us with all his heart, soul, and strength. He gave his life for us on the cross. He gave us his all. We're the apple of his eye. His whole focus is on us. And so he says, won't you focus on me? And won't I be the apple of your eye too? I've watched a little bit of this World Cup soccer. kind of ashamed to say that, but yes, I watched a little bit of the soccer. Now, it's becoming more popular here in America, I realize. But one thing I don't like about soccer, which was evident yesterday when America got beat, all the flopping. All the soccer flopping. A guy gets touched and he falls. Oh, I'm hurt. And they pull out a stretcher on the guy. He's not even hurt. And they flop and fake and flop and fake to try to gain some advantage. And I just don't like that. Play like a man, not like a sissy. Play the game. Are there floppers in the church? We put a good show on, smile, maybe go to church. And then we leave and we fake it out there. We flop. And the world calls us hypocrites because we don't live the Christian life. It's a tough word from Jesus today. As I said, it makes us feel guilty. Me, I feel guilty. We're burdened by these words. We know we don't live up to them, do we? Difficult words. We conclude with the words of forgiveness. We heard the absolution. Our sins are forgiven. Pastor didn't demand that you follow all these things first and then you'll be forgiven. You're just forgiven. When you take communion today, you're forgiven. We don't demand you follow all these things, sign an edict that you're going to follow all these things today. No, you're just forgiven. That's the way God is. You're baptized. You're a Christian. You're forgiven. You're washed. You're cleansed. Nothing can get in the way of that. That's true. That's real. It's finished. Take great comfort in that. Now, as a baptized Christian, as one who is saved, who has great joy now, be forgiving. Don't call down fire on others. Realize you're going to be forsaken, but you have eternal glory, so don't fret. Be fast and urgent to hear, to believe, to proclaim the kingdom, and be focused on Jesus and his mission. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us rise.